This is The Dime, a 10-minute dive into the cannabis and hemp industry through trends, insights, predictions, and tangents.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to The Dime. As always, I've got my right-hand man, Kellen Finney, here. And this week, we've got a special guest, Chad Lieber from Purple. Chad, thanks so much for taking the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing, Brian, Kellen?
Doing well, doing well. Really stoked to have you here and really interested to kind of dive into Purple, what it is and kind of how you fit into the whole marketplace. So I think the best way to get started would be to describe a little bit about your background and how you got into the cannabis space.
So my background is in developing instruments that use light to measure things. And I was doing this for the pharmaceutical industry, making quality control equipment. So they know that each pill has what they think is in there. And that's right around the time that the U.S. started legalizing. And it kind of seemed like an obvious opportunity that this industry needed some quality control as well. Entered this about 6 years ago.
What is Purple, right? For those who've probably seen some of your swag at some of the shows or some of the designs, what is Purple?
So Purple is a handheld cannabis potency and moisture testing device. It's a way for people to be able to test their weed at home or on their own without sending things out to a lab.
So do you think it's best suited in at home? Like, where would you say the ideal user is? Because I know you discussed it at home in a lab. Can you just kind of give more of an emphasis on where you see this in the placement area?
I can talk about where we've been selling it. And it's actually in neither of those two. It is in those two, but the dominant one is in two places. Cultivators are using it when they're pheno hunting or they actually want some real-time tests on their crop. So cultivators are definitely the biggest part of our consumer base. More interestingly, now in Europe, particularly in the Netherlands, these Dutch coffee shops, just in the last few months have been buying Purple like crazy. I think there are something like 500 coffee shops in the Netherlands, and just in the last 6 months now, 150 of them are using Purple devices to test the product they're buying. Because they've had a problem that the cannabis supply there is often not what it's advertised to be.
So it's like a party trick kind of where they show up and they are able to test it to kind of verify the product.
I guess it's a little more than a party trick just because their bottom line depends on it. So they're trying to buy some really nice THC flower, and they're being sold CBD flower, and they can't tell the difference. Or CBD flower that may have been sprayed with a synthetic, so it's really just to make sure that their inventory supply is actually what they think. So it's again quality assurance.
Yeah, I think that's a huge area that I think sometimes people don't really understand so well. I know Kellen's got an interesting story, maybe a sad story that kind of goes along with that, where Purple played a huge role in kind of helping to validate what was going on. Kellen, do you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where I've seen a lot of traction with the Purple too, is individuals growing hemp these days are getting really good at it. And turns out that hemp and cannabis are very, very similar, except for the CBD and THC factor. And so that problem is not only a problem in Europe, but it's also a huge problem out in California too. In the legacy market, I know it's rampant, right? I mean, you can't tell the difference looking at them. So the Purple has at least given some people some ability to differentiate, because that's really the only way to tell the difference these days.
And that's kind of a hot topic in general. I don't know if you guys wanted to go down this rabbit hole, but THC versus CBD, you really can't tell by inspection anymore. There's some really, really nice CBD flowers that smell and look identical to a THC. And I know there are a lot of people who say they can tell, but we've kind of put that to the test, and that's a hot topic right now in law enforcement, that there are some of these states that do not have canna legalization, but because hemp is nationwide, they've tried to make hemp illegal because the law enforcement can't tell the difference. So yeah, I found myself in talking to people I didn't anticipate I would, some legislators in some pretty conservative states, just trying to show them how purple can tell the difference. And it's a fascinating experience being with them.
I mean, and the purple is honestly like the perfect solution for law enforcement, you know, a quick and dirty, you're going to be able to tell if it's a CBD flower or a THC flower. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right there on the spot.
There's another company actually using a device damn near identical to the purple, developing it for law enforcement use, like for what is that white powder? Just street drug identification. So it is good for that market. That's law enforcement is not where we're looking to carve out our niche. But in the interest of, hey, can we preserve the hemp industry and stop that from becoming, made illegal in certain states? We certainly want to help that.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say, Kellen, about the difference between the hemp and the THC flower, because obviously in California, we had that experience. We had a bunch of individuals with some long time experience in the legacy market and a couple of Jamaicans. Be blown away by the fact that hemp couldn't be convinced that this was an actual THC flower. And if these people are convinced, right, staring at it, that it cannot be hemp, a police officer who's doing a routine stop might have a really hard time with understanding the difference. And having a tool like that is really valuable for them. What's the roadmap for Purple? Is it going to be solely on THC CBD? What do you have in store for the future? Is there anything you can share there?
Sure. So we came out of the gates with THC and CBD and flower, because we had to start somewhere, and we weren't going to add every bell and whistle before we went to market. So we started selling with that. Then we added moisture and water activity for flower, maybe in the fall of last year. And that was kind of delayed, because of COVID, and now we had been planning on releasing an extract potency update, by now, but COVID has thrown us for a loop, and we just can't get the people and equipment, to the labs we need to get to, or they won't even have us there right now. So hoping the pandemic is trending in the right direction, finally. So. Hopefully that'll let us get back at it. So yeah, extracts will be coming on, and then beyond that, we may be branching out into some other technologies and bringing some other products beyond the Purple Pro into the Purple Scientific line card.
Oh, that's exciting. From an in-house quality check, obviously right now there's kind of that missing component, and it's really exciting that Purple can kind of fill the void of being kind of an internal check without sending it out to a lab. Kellen, do you see in-house quality control being a big growth area in the space?
So honestly, that is how I got interested in the Purple, and then how I actually recommend the Purple to a lot of our clients that we do lab build outs to. I think it's invaluable, especially if you're doing an ethanol extraction or a CO2 extraction or even a hydrocarbon extraction. You literally can take the material that you're about to load into the extractor. You throw it in the Purple. You get a really quick measurement, right? You do your extraction, and then you can instantly pull some material out and measure it post extraction, right? And having that real time, almost real time data on that biomass, what is a completely it's a game changer in the extraction space. And so I've recommended it to all of our facilities that we've consulted on. And I think as the technology builds, especially into the extract area, I think it's just going to become even more valuable for cannabis manufacturers and hemp manufacturers, right? Just having that access to the information in real time to be able to optimize your extractions and your processes is a game changer, you know?
Our tagline is working. And Kellen, saying that you're recommending it to all these clients, thank you. And I just wanted to point out that the measuring post extraction is kind of using the device off label, so to speak. We haven't done any quality checks on that. So we encourage people to use this in any way they can, and if that's working for you, awesome. But that was part of our extract update.
Yeah, you got to make sure the material's really dry. So CO2 and hydrocarbon tend to not be problematic. It's ethanol extraction. If there's some residual ethanol in there, I don't know what it is, but it definitely kind of gives you some weird results. So if you just let that evaporate and then measure it, then you can get a more accurate measurement. It's what I've seen in practice, at least.
Sweet. So can I, Brian, can I go back on your question about the roadmap and say that very soon we're going to be announcing an exciting development with post-extracted material.
Great.
That's good. Perfect.
Part of the way that we want to go with this is to be able to have a closed loop solution. Every other manufacturing industry, they've got sensors screening the product in real time. So you don't have any waste. Everything is operating on thin margins and I certainly see this being the same way. But now rather than running an entire batch and then sending some of your extract off to a lab, waiting 2 weeks, you would be able to get all this information in real time. I mean, obviously you're still going to have to send your final product out for third-party testing. That's never going to change. There's a huge cost savings in making sure that you didn't blow it, that you can get the car back on the road while you're still trying to get where you're going.
Yeah.
In a hyper competitive space where it's just a race to the bottom right now, mm-hmm. every percent on your margin that you can gain is an absolute, it's a huge competitive edge for survival and all of those aspects.
And I think that's why, so the technology that's under the hood of Purple Pro is used in pretty much every industry and every adjacent industry and in food and pharma and beverages. And it really is all that just to make sure that you can correct a batch while it's still correctable, so you don't have any waste and you really, really streamline all your product costs.
I don't think that can be said loud enough. Like, I just don't think people in the space like hear that and actually understand how valuable of an integration of a piece of technology that Purple is bringing to the table.
But I think that's going to come. I mean, I think that's just because of the nascence of the industry that there have been a lot of people making a whole lot of money relatively easily. But now that the industry is maturing, it's becoming competitive and now it's going to require those sorts of things.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be really helpful for our listeners. It's a common phrase where we express to our friends and our colleagues how simple using the Purple is. Could you just take us through the easy steps on how simple to use a Purple Pro could be?
Yeah, so that was, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when we first started planning this, the whole idea behind this is that we want people to be able to test themselves, and it needs to be operable by anybody. Normally, this kind of equipment is sold to a team of PhDs and engineers. Who have a different mindset when they're employing technology than somebody who mail orders it and uses it at home. So when we set out, we thought we want this to be no more complex than a coffee maker. I mean, it is a scientific instrument, so you do have to follow some steps, but you have to put the filter under the coffee beans when you're making coffee, or you learn the hard way. So they're kind of similarly, we've got a couple of basic steps that the device, the first thing you do, we've got the device, which is, we kind of call it's a hockey puck. It's about the size of a hockey puck. You pair it with your phone. You register that the device to your phone, and then, to operate it once a week, you've got to calibrate it. And the calibration is already built into the box. So all you do is flip the puck over and hit the button on your phone. Then you're good for a week. And then in terms of measuring a sample, you grind up some flour. You hit the button on your phone and 4 or 5 seconds later, it gives you all your results.
Let's talk about Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. That's right. No more excuses. Get your lazy ass off the couch. Go start a podcast. There's the creation tool that allows you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Once again, no more excuses. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Could it be easier? Even better, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. That's right. They're paying us for this ad. Thank you very much, Anchor. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started now.
It is as easy as you've described it. And it's funny because every time we put the unit in front of an individual and we go through the steps, their typical response is that it?
Yeah.
yeah, that's it. Now you, then he goes, how long do I wait for a result? And I said, did you look at your phone? And he goes, oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's really key. And you know, when you're measuring a flower, you know, whether it's 5 seconds or 30 seconds isn't a big deal, but particularly like what we had talked about down the line of making inline systems. So it's giving you constant results on your extraction. You know, being able to have a result more or less instantly is a big deal. And it shows well in front of people. Like we're realizing that during COVID where we can't get in front of people. So there's only so much you can do with slick ads and things like that. But really getting this in front of people, it's kind of like being at a craps table. I think, you know, I love crap. Brian, you're a craps player as well, right?
Yeah. Former craps player.
Okay. Well, but you know, the joy of it.
Yeah. Whenever you get a good result open. Yeah. People just kind of gravitate towards it. And I remember when we were in Vegas for MJ Biz and just watching a bunch of home grows come by and test their products and just scream with excitement of just how well they've done. It was so nice to see everyone so happy. And I think this will be a really popular device as kind of more states come online and more people start growing at home. It'll just be another device to kind of understand what's going on. And it's so easy to use. And I think until you actually see it, I think people have this stigma in their mind, scientific device, hard to use. And I think Purple, you guys do a really good job of explaining how simple and easy to use. And I think that'll give it a lot more adaptability as people understand the capabilities it can bring to the table.
We certainly hope so. And you know, I think there's also the part about people's expectations and that there have been some other entries into this space that really have advertised a lot more than they could actually deliver. And it was pseudoscience. So we've had to overcome some of that. But we've been really happy that the acceptance has been really good. And it really seems that people are rooting for Purple. You know, we're trying to be as transparent as we possibly can be in letting people know what we're doing. And we're not bullshitting them. We want to give them real science and we want to make it easy to use.
So listener question, and this is the number one question that we were asked about the Purple, and you are the perfect person to answer this. Is the Purple Pro accurate?
Yeah. I mean, I guess everything is accurate. So this has been a hot topic lately. You know, accuracy is basically how close to the bullseye. You know, if you're throwing a dart at a bullseye, it's how close on average you are to the bullseye. In general, we our bullseye are the HPLC test done at labs, and we measure the exact same sample with our device, and then they test that small half a gram or whatever it is of a sample, and in our THC is accurate within 1.89%, so we just say 2%. And our CBD is accurate within like 0.96 or something like that. But we also just say 2% because it's easier just to say 2% for everything. So that means on average, if our device measures a 25, then and you send it to the lab, it would be between 23 and 27.
Yeah, right where you'd want it to be. And I personally believe that I think some people have a hesitancy with accuracy because they've gotten such variance with their third party labs that they're sort of hesitant to kind of trusting it from like a number standpoint. And I just think that kind of plays into the stigma as a whole, as that people are kind of a little skeptical. And as things evolve, I think that'll be a very common exception where people will just don't do that anymore.
And I mean, people are right in that regard because, you know, everything in this industry is maturing, including the lab testing. So you've got a couple of problems. You've got no federal standard. So different states use different test standards, and some of them are almost laughable in their simplicity of what states require from a scientific standpoint. So it gives a lot of error or kind of a noise factor between different labs or between different labs in different states. And then you also see some of the stuff in the news about some of the labs who are putting their thumb on the scale, so to speak. And you know, trying to get more business by giving higher numbers, so that doesn't help the reputation either. And I don't know that any of this really becomes a well-oiled machine until there is a federal standard. So that's why we go to reputable labs that we've worked with for a while. We don't think that they're putting their thumb on the scale, and we've seen all their procedures. We do that in multiple states just so we could probably be more accurate or our error would be less if we calibrated to just one lab. But that's really not feasible. So we kind of take the average from three different labs.
So before we wrap, we always ask all of our guests a question that we're excited to ask you. When was the last time you took any cannabinoids?
last night. Yeah, that's the only question.
It's just a common question.
Should I have done it right before this podcast?
We had a person who's done it on the podcast.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I mean, we've had it instantly.
So I didn't on this podcast, but maybe down the line, once Purple releases some cool new stuff, you can have me back on and then we'll try it. You know, we'll do some case control.
Yeah.
I think I could probably tell more entertaining stories next time.
Yeah. And I've got some really good stories too, from when we took it to one of the parties where we were testing it in a smoking lounge and people's minds were just blown by the idea that here's a device. This guy was literally smoking an L sitting next to me and his eyes are like, can I test it? And I was like, you can do whatever you want, dude. Right. And he like literally stops, he grabs his bud and he just puts it down. He's like, I don't want to smoke this anymore. I want this. And it was just so funny to see. And he was like on the spot. He was like, how much for that? And we told him the price and he was like, I'll take it right now. And I was like, it's not for sale, dude. Like, we're not like, this isn't something you just buy and think. I was like, here's a card if you want to go get it. And it was such an eye-opening experience for somebody who had smoked all the time to have a device like that where he could test his product in front of him and it was just blown away.
No, absolutely. And like you said, what did you say? Parlor trick?
It was a party trick, right? I've taken it to friends' houses.
Totally in that use case. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a
cool one, but there's science behind this party trick.
Yes, of course. So prediction time. We taught it about federal standards. Yep. When do you believe, Chad, we'll have federal standards, and what do you hope it will look like?
Hell if I know when it's going to happen. I mean, obviously now with a new administration, I'm a lot more optimistic. So, there's been talk that it would happen in the next year. So I'm an optimistic dude. I'll say that in the next year, it would be descheduled and then the FDA would get guidance. And I think they've already got a shortcut on that. So I think, cannabis inflorescence guide, the stuff by El Soli's group, has some HPLC standards. Honestly, I don't really care what they are, just so long as everybody, all the labs are playing on a level playing field, it would make our job a lot easier. Because right now we're trying to match a moving number, that surprisingly we do really well at it, but we could all do a lot better. Once everybody's kind of cooking with the same recipe.
Yeah. Kellen, Mr. Pessimistic. Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree. I know NIST. I know NIST is also working on standards right now, so I think that will really help just alleviate some of the frustrations that you see from lab to lab from accuracy and precision standpoint. Right. As far as descheduling, I think we'll be descheduled potentially within the year, completely or not descheduled, decriminalized. Right. Like actually legal. Probably not till 2024. I'm sticking with my original prediction. 2024, it'll be federally legal, but I could see it being decriminalized within the year.
I can't wait to clip you saying 2024 100 times when it's faster than it and just playing it on loop. Sooner, man, like enough with that. You see how many governors have come out and just pressed the need to legalize. We saw Virginia just flip the switch and go. They're talking about Kentucky. So if all these states are expediting this with it, like you said, Chad, there is an aggressive need and the FDA knows this. And I wouldn't be shocked if they're working on this as we speak in hopes of having something sooner rather than later. So optimistic, Brian, will say 6 months.
You guys always play these optimist, pessimist roles or does it change by issue?
No, it should change by issue, but typically Kellen is extremely pessimistic. And I am typically extremely optimistic. So naturally we end up falling a certain way. Yeah, if Kellen did come off optimistic, I think I'd be really uncomfortable, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's going to take a much longer time to legalize. It's going to be a state's issue. I think the federal government's just like, hands off. They'll let the states figure out what they want to do. And they're not going to really get their hands involved, because I think it's, at the end of the day, they're just going to be like, it's a state issue. We'll let each state decide. Right. And then we're not like the overarching force that's saying cannabis is legal or not. I don't know. That's just my two cents on it.
Why did you say 2024? You think before the next election?
Yeah, I think that Biden will use it as like a running thing to run for reelection.
So for what it's worth, I said that Trump was going to do that. I was saying 2020 because I thought for sure Trump was going to legalize just to take some wind out of the sails of whoever he was running against.
I thought he was going to.
It didn't happen.
Yeah. How many states, though, like how many states become adult use before it's like we should just federally do it? If we end up with 35 states.
Yeah.
Is that enough to be like, all right, well, we should just make it? Because some of the more conservative states, even they're having conversations about it. So like just the fact that they're talking about it makes me think that it's happening faster. And you're right, Kellen. Governments act extremely slow and inefficient. And I just don't accept that as a likely path.
Yeah. I mean, the more in the SAFE Act, right? They were supposed to go in front of Congress in December, and like now because of the new administration, they're not going to even touch those again until this upcoming December. You know what I mean? Probably. So like we're now back at square one before they even get to reread those two acts that could potentially reshape the landscape. And I think that we need to figure out the banking issue before we can just legalize it. You know what I mean?
The banking is going to happen soon. They've already discussed that that's going to happen sooner rather than later. And if they already have, all the paperwork, what do they need to change? And I think the saying that I've heard is like the Senate can walk and chew gum at the same time, which is like horribly embarrassing to think that we pay these people or they represent us and they can't do that, considering here we are juggling 90 million things. And they're like, no, we're good. We talked about a issue today. It's time to go home. Cool. Well, Chad, if the people are interested in learning more about Purple or speaking with you directly, do you have any social handles or way to get in touch?
So we're at purplescientific.com. That's P-U-R-P-L scientific. Or if you go to findpurple.com, that'll take you to our website as well. We have a pretty active Instagram and we repost a lot of our user content, as well, because, like we're talking about from a party trick standpoint, people like to show off the results, and they like to video the reveal.
We'll definitely link everything in the show notes. So for any of you home growers out there that are interested in scooping a purple, we'll put all the information in there. Chad, I appreciate your time and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Brian, Kellen, thanks for having me.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey friends, I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your host of the Cannabis Hangout Podcast, an educational platform to connect with the cannabis community and share personal stories while breaking the stigma of marijuana.
Join us every Sunday at 7 p.m. to gain valuable insight with different perspectives from industry leaders, growers, and medical marijuana patients.
This is a place to learn so much from different angles in the cannabis industry. So tune in
while we break it all down.